Hey folks, I'm Belgast of the AgriChat podcast. What is our podcast, you ask? Well, the idea is really simple. Get a bunch of friends together, hit record, and see what happens. If that sounds interesting to you, you should totally check us out. We're a proud member of the Gaming and Entertainment Network at tgenetwork.net.
Cat Context Podcast, episode 85 for Wednesday, November 4th, 2015. My name is Lior. With me today, as usual, is my co-host Aralade, but Ellie is off traveling with his family. So instead, to replace him, we had to bring in two special guests to equal the power of Ellie in conversation. It is Cor and Aurelia. Hello, you guys. Why don't we start with Cor? How was your Halloween weekend?
Pretty good. I dressed up for work, I dressed up for a rave, and then I dressed up for Halloween. So three dress-up things and lots of fun.
And did you wear the same costume to each of them?
No. Marty McFly 2015 was work, and Saturday night, the rave, I was the Mad Hatter with neon body paint all over me and a giant hat.
Of course you were. It was a rave.
That sounds amazing.
Are there photos? Because we want to see them later.
There are, but I don't have them, so I will get them for you later.
Okay, I would like to see that. Aurelia, how are you, and did you dress up for Halloween?
I did not dress up for Halloween, but I actually had, we had some Halloween vandalism. We were woken up in the middle, I mean, you know, these Boston people, we were woken up at about 2 a.m. last night by furious banging and, you know, smashing at the door. And we went outside, and somebody had sprayed fake blood all over the outside of our house at the front.
Seriously,
I would not make this up on the internet. So then I was standing outside my house, hosing fake blood off my house at 2 in the morning so that it didn't stain. So that was great. And I have a very low opinion of humanity right now.
Did you have that split moment where you thought like it might have been real blood and maybe you were in a horror movie?
No. No, mostly I just went straight to cursing local children.
Wow.
Yeah.
I see. I didn't even know. I was thinking like, you know, maybe your trees got toilet papered.
No.
I didn't know that the fake blood thing was a thing that people did.
It not when I was a kid.
Did it spray right off?
Like times have changed, Lior.
Cornstarch base? Were you just spray off the hose or was it stickier?
I was not taking samples at 2 in the morning. I got the red stuff off the house, Cor. That's where I was at.
Okay.
That's very nice. Aralade, how was your Halloween weekend? And I want to know what the Weezsters dressed up as.
I had a typically suburban Halloween where the Gup was Spider-Man, which was what she had been looking forward to all year. And it was amazing, like complete with a mask. And she had little silly string web shooters. And it was the best. And she went around and she corrected all the neighbors who were using the incorrect gender pronouns for her.
Nice.
Yeah. And yeah. Because no, excuse me, I'm a girl. She was very serious about this. And it was actually hard to get the tiny dino in a costume because she's got this weird grasp of logic that I don't get. She's super into Sophia the First right now, which is a Disney Channel TV show, doesn't matter. And I asked her if she wanted to be Sophia for Halloween, and she looked at me like I was the biggest fucking idiot and said, Sophia's Sophia.
So
that one's taken,
her logic
Mom.
Is sound.
And so she was a fairy, she had little wings, it was really precious. I have a hilarious picture of her because for like such a genuinely sweet, happy child, I cannot get her to look at a camera with anything other than grave suspicion. She is like the single least photogenic human being in the world because that magic box is going to steal her soul, I guess. I don't know. I've never gotten a good picture of this child.
So she's like the world's saddest little fairy.
She is the grumpiest fairy.
That sounds amazing. I am pleased to hear about that. We did not dress up for Halloween, but we instead we had a spooky one-off session with our usual tabletop group, and Vajra led the session. And it was, we were in a haunted house, and we all ended up being taking on part of our costumes. And at the end, the Cenobites from Hellraiser showed up and had cake, and it was pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure Captain Roger would enjoy a cake.
Exactly. Yeah, they showed up and they were like, you know, we're here from the Hell Dimension. We were like, do you want some cake? And they did. So it was a happy ending to our Halloween D&D adventure. This week we are talking about Star Wars, and we're talking about it from two different perspectives. We were going to talk about Star Wars The Old Republic, because they just had an expansion come out, and I know that Arrow and Aurelia have been playing it like crazy. Woo. And we're going to talk a little bit about Star Wars the movie, because they just had a trailer come out and a poster, and I know that Kor has been like watching that over and over and over again. Would that be accurate, Kor, to say that you've been...
I probably watched it between 1 and 2 dozen times. So not like a crazy amount, but enough.
Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. Just like 2 dozen times.
That is totally valid for trying to figure out what the fuck is going on. That's fine.
Yeah, I have some comments on that, too. But why don't we start with the game first? Let's start. Aurelia, you've been playing the expansion for The Old Republic. What do you think?
I really enjoyed it, and I was interested because they said that it was going to be a return to BioWare storytelling, you know, BioWare style RPG storytelling. I'm a huge fan of the Dragon Age series and of the Mass Effect series, and not, you know, just basically for the writing, for the story. I really like the interactive narrative. And one of my fondest memories of originally playing SWTOR when it released was that everybody in my household had a character, and we played through all of the class stories together. So my main was a smuggler at that point, and I not only got to see the smuggler story, but the trooper story and the consular story. We played Republic side. But then the same thing happened to me that happened to a lot of people with SWTOR. I finished my class story. Raiding wasn't very good, and there wasn't a whole lot to do if you weren't into raiding or PvP, because you ran out of story. So I did come back and play the Hutt and Revan expansions about a month ago, because I was anticipating that this new expansion was going to come out. And they really did deliver on their promise. The story is very compelling. I mean, it does fall into some cliches, but I've really been enjoying it, and almost entirely on the basis of the fact that it's an RPG that I can play through with an interesting story. I have other thoughts about things that I think they did not as well, but I think that they did a really good job with that. I was very entranced, and I found myself just wanting to play the next chapter and the next chapter, and I'm already looking forward to the stuff that they're going to be releasing starting in January.
So you or Arrow can answer this. Is there new mechanics with this expansion, or is it just new story?
Sort of. They entirely rebuilt the companion system for this new expansion, and I'm a little overwhelmed, because now I have to work a whole lot harder to make fake people fake love me, and by whole lot harder I mean by a power of 100. But they also changed it so that it's called influence now instead of affection, mm-hmm. so that even when your companion disapproves, you still gain influence. You never lose influence. Which is much better than it was, because I don't know about you, Ar, but I could not get Lord Scourge to shut up about anything ever. Jesus Christ, dude, I'm a Jedi, what do you want?
So I have a question for that. If it's just purely any interaction, does it seem more like a rep grind rather than like having to manipulate dialogue and stuff?
No, it's not at all. You gain influence with them if you take them out to kill things.
But the nice thing is that they can still, so they can dislike you and have high influence. Influence is basically a measure of how much of an impact you've had on this character and how much, how important the interaction between the two of you is. They may hate you. So a high influence may mean that they hate you, and they hate you more than anyone else in the universe. And in the future,
they get the snarky dialogue for it.
Yeah, and they may indeed backstab you in the future when it comes to it. But in the meantime, you're not forced to play your character, or you don't have an artificial motivation to play your character in a way that you wouldn't just because you happen to have, you know, Sergeant Goody Two Shoes along and you don't want to lose reputation. So I think it's interesting. It's going to be, I think it'll develop in the future as more chapters come out and more choices with the companions become evident.
And more and more and more companions.
Yeah, and it's tricky because I don't want to do spoilers, and some of the new mechanics that they've introduced are as a result of plot events, and so I don't want to talk too much about the mechanics, but suffice it to say that they're, you find yourself in a position where you need to build up an alliance of contacts. You need to build up a network of companions. So before, when you had five companions, I think right now I have like 30, 35, something like that, something ridiculous.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yeah.
Can you take them all with you? There's still only the core ones you can take with you, right?
No.
And then there's the contact list. You can take anyone? Seriously? That's amazing. Because I haven't done anything past the last plot quest. I finished chapter 9, but that was it.
Yeah, so you cannot take a certain scientist and a certain smuggler. I think you follow where I'm going.
Yeah, the people.
Those people you cannot take with you, but pretty much anyone else.
Which is a fucking shame. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, Dr. What's his face? Jumping around behind you, shooting people. Anyways, so you get a huge, huge selection of companions, and you get to recruit companions that used to be exclusive to other classes. And people who were in the Revan expansion have now become companions that follow you around. So there's a huge, huge, huge choice of companions now, which is really neat.
And not only that, they have removed delimited roles for companions.
Yes.
Any companion can fill any role, which is amazing. Because, like, on my commando, I played a commando who was a healer. And even though Alara Dorne is adorable and I would love to take her everywhere, she's also a healer. What could we do? Not a fucking thing. But now you can change that, and anyone you want can be a healer, tank, or damage. So you can take any companion with you in any story. And it's awesome. I mean, like, your smuggler isn't stuck with Corso anymore, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ, Corso, get out of the fire!
That's something I would love to see that expanded to other BioWare games, because I found that difficult.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I played a warrior in Inquisition, I wanted to have, you know, Iron Bull and other warriors and Cassandra with me. All of a sudden, we're a three-warrior party. You don't need that.
Yeah.
So that sounds really cool for being able to bring the companion that you want to bring as opposed to who is required to fill out your party.
I have a question about that. So I get, like, and I actually kind of do appreciate the ability that you can kind of pick whatever you want to make it flexible so you can get the person rather than the role.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just thinking about, that kind of, for me, would break it. Like, Iron Bull as a mage wouldn't make any sense because he's a big dude with the sword. Like,
they actually still keep character specific abilities.
Okay.
When you switch their role.
So there is some specificity, but it's not
okay, right. So what would happen is, if you want to parallel this, what they would do is you switch Iron Bull to the healer role. He would be a potion flinger.
Okay.
Is what he would be doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that kind of makes sense. So keeping, you know, for example, in this case, the physicality of what he does, and
right.
Right,
and
okay.
To a certain extent, it does, you know, reduce the, you know, special character of the, you know, of the companion. But I don't really care. I mean, given the trade-off,
also,
I would rather...
Also, they're completely overpowered now.
Yeah,
it's
they're totally OP.
Amazing.
The downside of what all of these companions is what Era was saying is you now have a huge... So they changed it. So instead of having a maximum, I think it was 10,000 affection, there's now a maximum of something like 500,000 influence. Influence level goes up to 50 levels. And the highest companion I have been able to get so far, who I've been just throwing presents at, they introduce a new rank of gifts. And so I've been throwing these rank 6 presents at this character. It's still only at level 32. And I mean, I have 30 characters. So if you hope to get all of them up, there's a significant companion gift grind at this point. So that's...
Well, you probably really only want to... I think once you hit about 10, which is really easy to do, you can get them to rank 10 with level 1 vendor gifts.
That's true.
Once you're at 10, they're pretty much super powered.
Yeah, I'm actually a little worried they're going to nerf companions.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about that too. But I've discovered the jump between... My highest companion right now is at about a 22. Because he's dreamy, and
I know exactly who it is, and you're such a dork.
It's Troy Baker. What do you want from me? My God, the only thing that would have been worse would have been Greg Ellis. What? Jesus Christ! And so the effectiveness between 10 and 20 doesn't seem to be that much in combat. It really shines in crafting. So if you want to send everybody out on crafting, then yeah, you'll want to grind them all up. But get everybody to 10, I think, and then just keep throwing presents at the person you expect to take with you most of the time, and mm-hmm. then you are, like, nigh unstoppable. Mm-hmm. Go back and solo your flashpoints.
Some of the more controversial things about the SWTOR changes have been that they really did simplify some of the combat, though. They simplified combat a little with, you know, taking out certain skills and such, but what they did was they removed all, strength, agility, you know, intelligence, wisdom, whatever sort of like primary stats. Not that that's what they're called in SWTOR, but essentially imagine they took out all of those stats and they replaced the stat with something called mastery. So now all gear has mastery and endurance, and then like secondary stats like haste and crit and stuff. And
defense and shield.
And defense and shielding and stuff. But essentially, you know, if you find a piece of medium armor, you don't have to worry, is this strength medium armor or cunning medium armor or whatever? And I actually think that's quite good, because I found a lot of annoyance. Like, you'd find this one piece of gear and you just ended up with a lot of crap that you couldn't use. So I don't see a big difference between having one stat that adjusts based on what your class is and having, oh, this one's called cunning, this one's called strength. So that doesn't bother me. They did remove also companion gearing.
Oh, I was about to ask, if you are going to have to gear up like 35 companions...
Companions' effectiveness is now determined entirely by your level and your presence stat, which is like how inspiring you are, I guess, whatever. And you can put gear on at least some of the companions to change how they look, but it has no influence on how effectively they are in combat, which is good, because especially if you're leveling quickly, having to gear up 10,000 companions is very irritating and expensive.
Also, it means you can buy super cheap, awesome-looking war hero crystals to put in like Kira's lightsaber, and it's amazing.
I only understood like half of that sentence.
R did. That's all that mattered.
Yeah.
So, and it sounds like, from what I can tell from you guys, I can kind of see you guys going back and forth in our daytime Slack chat. It sounds like the story is really good.
The story is crazy. Arrow, you finished it, right?
Yeah, I finished through chapter 9. I really want chapter 10 because, again, playing an agent.
Yeah.
There's no way that's not. I mean, it's...
It's her. It's totally
her. Here is the thing that I really, really appreciate, and it is something that bothered me about Warcraft for years. There is this giant galactic world-threatening civilization that is trying to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sith and the Jedi went, hey, we should work together and fix this. Oh my god! It's beautiful! Jesus Christ, you... so amazing. So happy that is happening.
It also means that you briefly get to have Darth. It is a little bit of a spoiler, but it happens in like the first 10 minutes. So too bad, people who are watching the podcast. It's amazing.
Also, Darth Maar is spectacular.
He's amazing. Yeah. And I was a Jedi Knight, and Darth Maar was following around behind me, healing me, because I thought that was hilarious. I put him in healing mode.
I totally put Lord Scourge in healing all the time, just because I hate him and I want him to stop whining. That's wrong. I love him, but still, I need him to stop whining.
Yeah, he's very sensitive. The story is definitely, it is definitely a more mature story. And I say that as a good thing. It's I think, very much what you see in Dragon Age Inquisition. They have, you know, people talking about people experiencing deep personal losses, and, you know, people die, important characters die. Sometimes it feels like your character's not getting special treatment, like you don't have that special hero immunity. Like at one point, I'm not going to go into detail so that it hopefully won't be a spoiler, but at one point my character had to choose a light side or dark side option. And choosing the light side option gets you seriously wounded in a way that I actually was surprised in, because nothing like that ever happened in Star Wars before in a SWTOR game. So that, I think that they're...
They did that more than once, too. One of them I had to actually look up because I was afraid it was going to be permanent.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the story was very compelling, but not as long as I wanted. I actually played through it really quickly. And now there's no more... What they're going to be doing is releasing story chapters about once a month, which is great, except that, you know, there isn't a chapter coming until January, and I'm already finished, so they really need to get on that.
As I understand it, there are actual, like, distinct differences between classes, though.
I don't know. I've only played through the expansion on one character so far, so I'll have to see.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend who was playing an Inquisitor, and he was getting entirely different plot things than I was.
That's pretty cool if they can do that and make it a little different. How long did it take you to play through the story? Like, if you had to estimate the number of hours you put into it.
I would say 8 or 9 hours.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 to 10.
Oh, so that's super short.
Yeah, I mean, if you could make that last a couple of weeks or whatever, but each chapter is pretty short. Each chapter is maybe an hour and a half.
That's actually really smart by them. So let's say it's 10 hours once a month. If they did that all at once, you'd be done with the story in 3 weeks and have nothing to do for the next year. So seems like a pretty smart move for them.
We've done we got nine chapters so far. And then starting in January, we'll get one more per month.
Oh, so okay. Like an hour, roughly an hour of story a month.
And maybe slightly more.
Maybe, or slightly more. Some chapters are longer than others.
And there are also a ton of quests on the back end of the 9th chapter that I haven't touched yet.
Yeah, I've done all of those.
Oh, okay.
I'm at the point where I'm essentially building my
daily
alliance.
Things?
I'm essentially doing dailies and gearing up and wrapping up and consolidating my power for future.
Uh-huh, for the future. Adventures. Were there new planets with the expansion?
There's one new planet. There are a lot of new NPCs, some of whom I really, really, really like. There's a female, an older female companion in particular who I find
so
fascinating.
Great.
She's amazing. Yeah, I like her a lot.
And the visual design on all of the NPCs is spectacular. Mm-hmm. They didn't do the cheap-ass thing that they had done for a while where they just, you know, went through the regular old character creator and dropped something out once they hit random.
They have very unique looks.
So I don't know if either of you were big Star Wars lore people, but I'm curious about... Whoa, okay, sorry, Arrow. But... But I was kind of curious about where this, like, are they going their own direction with this? Like, how does this fit into the greater...
There's definitely a very strong thread tying this to the previous story, but it would be a huge spoiler to tell you what it is. But especially if you played a Jedi Knight, it's a huge tie.
Okay.
Also, they have, like, Disney and LucasArts have not said whether or not the Old Republic story is... like in the new movie canon, they won't say one way or the other because they're like, it's too far away, we don't care. I've heard rumors that they're on Terrace sometime in the new books. I have not heard that myself. That would be awesome if true, because I need Revan to be canon. That is just such a great story.
That's what I'm kind of curious about, because, I mean, obviously, they would be insane to not try and tie in SOTOR to some of the ever-increasing madness with the upcoming movie. I'm curious about whether there's going to be, like, a story link between them, or how they're going to somehow put this stuff together in the same lore. Now, Kor, are these the same worlds? Like, they did, like, the whole, like, extended universe purge thing. I'm kind of confused.
So, yeah, all the expanded universe from 1986 to a year ago, or year and a half ago, was deemed non-canon once Disney took it over, because it was, you know, 500 novels, hundreds of comics, video games. They want to deal with figuring that all out. So, you know, fine. I was upset for like a long time, but whatever. Terrace, and this I'm going to try to not get too spoily, because I know a lot of people that listen to this don't want to hear a lot of side story before the movie because they want to watch it and be fresh. Terrace is part of the backstory for the time.
Yes.
Between Return of the Jedi and the new movie, but I'm not going to say at all what it's involved, because that would definitely spoil some of the stuff for the movie.
Nice.
I heard it was the Endar Spire specifically. Is that correct? Because that's not a spoiler.
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say that Terrace is involved, and it's very specific and important how it's involved.
Nice.
That's... I'm going to bug you about this in Slack tomorrow.
That's fine.
I need to know if it's the Endar Spire, Kor. Is it the Endar Spire?
Blink twice. Yeah. we'll figure this all out on Slack chat tomorrow. That's very cool, and this sounds like a nice time to segue towards movie stuff. Arrow and Orr, did you get a chance to see the trailer for the new movie? The new trailer?
Yes.
I haven't, but it's because it violates my rule. We talked about this a little
of
bit.
Of not watching awesome things?
No, it's kind of a tangent, so I don't want to sidetrack, because I'll very, very briefly explain it. I got very frustrated with Hollywood for what I see as just churning out spin-offs, remakes, reboots, and sequels, and just in general, cash-ins on existing franchises. And I got so frustrated with it that I decided to do a personal project where for 1 year, I'm not watching any movies that are any of those things.
Nice.
No cash-ins, no tie-ins to existing franchises, only new stories. So the bastards, like, found out, I guess, that I was doing this, and they decided that then, you know, they should release a Star Wars movie. So I will see it at the end of the year.
That's okay, because my understanding is it's sold out everywhere through the end of the year anyway, so... So, Cor, just based on the trailer, and I want to stress that I know absolutely nothing about this movie or really Star Wars lore in general, so if I stumble into a spoiler, it's totally unintentional. But, like, that looked like John Boyega is, like, a Jedi in the trailer, right? That's what it was kind of looking like?
So...
Well...
For me, I don't know, actually, if he is, but it looks to me as if he was very unsure. At the end of the trailer, if you haven't watched it, Finn has... Luke's lightsaber, and he's about to get chopped up, and he looks
Luke's?
Yeah, that's Luke's lightsaber. It's okay. The lightsaber handle is the right color. It's
God, I love nerds.
Yeah. It's not his green saber; it's his blue one, which was Anakin's.
Of course, like it matches the one that's on the poster on my wall.
It's the one that fell from Bespin. You guys,
correct?
It fell from Bespin. That's
correct. There you go. From Empire.
So apparently, they found a severed hand.
Well, maybe. But yeah, so he looks very unsure about it, very unsteady. So if he is a Force-sensitive person, he is definitely not trained in any manner because he looks like he's going to about to shit his pants. To answer your question, I would think that he might be Force-sensitive, he might not be. He might just be in possession of a lightsaber when the shot is taken, but they don't really say.
Anyone can use a lightsaber. Well, anyone can turn one on, can ignite it.
Yeah.
Building it is the hard part, and also not cutting off your own limbs.
Well, unless you build your lightsaber to have the switch internal, which a lot of them do, so you have to use the Force to flick the switch. Then it would have to be a Force sensitive to do it.
I'm actually super impressed that you know that, Cor.
Did you not see the show that we had where we argued about how the the cross hilt lightsaber is because that dude is obviously fucked up?
No, I actually did. I'm familiar with the cross hilt controversy.
It was very intense. It was very intense. Yeah, I'm kind of interested by that. You know, I have to say as the person here doesn't really care about Star Wars. But the trailer was pretty good.
What a sad life. How sad your world must be.
I mean, it's okay. It's not like I hate it.
How can you be that? How can you be my age and not care about Star Wars? Star Wars is literally the first movie I ever saw in the theater. I was 9 months old.
It's not like, I mean, I don't hate Star Wars or anything. I'm just not like, ooh, Star Wars. Cor, what do you think? Have you seen the trailer?
I thought the trailer was really good. Too much lens flare, but it's, you know who's making the movie.
It's J.J.
So.
Abrams.
It's fine. I mean, lightsabers don't have lens flare. It doesn't make any sense. There were some things that I questioned from, like, a fanboy standpoint. Like, why are they still using TIE fighters? Yeah, maybe they're better, but all the shots they show for the fighters, except for, like, one, they're all in atmosphere, and those things would have terrible yaw problems because they're giant panels. And we already know they can make other things like interceptors and defenders and all this stuff that actually could fly better. So it was weird, like, fanboy stuff that bothered me. There's a lot of questions I had, like... From the teaser before, they kind of alluded that Rey might be related to Luke or Leia because of the whole family Force-sensitive thing. But if she is related to them, why was Han describing to her that, yes, Jedi are real? Like, she should know that if she's related to them because they're fucking parents.
Yeah.
Or, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of, like, stuff that's kind of questions for me. A lot of it actually reminded me of the old Expanded Universe stuff. There was a book called The New Rebellion where a dark Jedi kind of off on his own is plotting to... take down Luke Skywalker, and he's kind of a dick. There was a Second Imperium, which actually involved a lot of Sith or Dark Jedi, which was an offshoot of the actual Empire, which is still around, and this group of antagonists here are an offshoot of the remaining Empire. I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, Luke never established, like he did in Old Expanded Universe, he established a Jedi Academy and had a bunch, you know, 30 years after the movies, there was probably somewhere in the hundreds of Jedi running around. I'm trying to think of the Yuuzhan Vong invasion, like somewhere in the hundreds, I forget the exact number, but there apparently isn't now, so they've taken some things that looked common to me from before, and some things that are definitely different, and so that was kind of cool.
You know, like, as a fanboy who loved, like, all that extended universe and everything, are you open-minded to them kind of taking this all in a new direction?
Yeah, that's fine. I will always remember all that other stuff, like, my handle Cor is short for Corrin Horn, who is a character from the EU. I have to buy all these new books and read all those and get into them. A lot of the story that connects the movies now is all in that, so I have to go and catch up there before the movies get open. But
so I have a question.
We'll see. Yeah.
my brother was huge into Star Wars lore, and a lot of what I know from him. And he had all the books, all of the, manuals and everything, and he just, like, knew everything about the universe. And I feel like there are a lot of fans like that who, really invested a lot of time, like, learning this stuff and really immersing themselves in it. And it feels to me like a little bit of a dick move to take all of that people have been loving and obsessing over for decades and say, oh, it's not real anymore, doesn't count. We're starting over. And by the way, here's the list of new books that you can buy so that you can do all that again. Like, how can you not feel betrayed and cynical?
I was totally pissed off. I mean, I've got enough books that I've got them stacked high enough in my closet that it's taller than me. I'm 6 foot tall and it's 3 book columns. So that's how many books I have in my closet standing over there.
Wow.
But on the other hand, after I thought about it for a while, like, if they were going to use those stories, then everyone who knows the movie, like, they've every single month between the end of the movie and 50 years out has already been written down. Like, what are they going to do? They're just now adapting books to film. It's not, like, it's cool, but people are not going to be as excited about something that's new and fresh and a mystery and kind of fun stuff. So after I thought about that, I kind of, like, got on board a little bit more. The books aren't going anywhere that I had. Like, they're still there. There's non-canon notes.
For me, it's like the way Wikipedia did it. They actually separate the different panels into, like, canon, and then they call it legends. And you switch between those tabs, and you can still read information about the expanded universe. And honestly, frankly, after 30 years and 500 million books and video games, there was a lot of chaff in there. I mean, there was a lot of garbage that needed to go away.
Yeah, even before the whole canon reset, they had, I think, 5 tiers of canon, where it was tier one, anything Lucas had put. So, like, movies, TV shows, the actual, screenplays.
The Star Wars Christmas special.
And there was a level down where it was, like, most of the things that had been sponsored by Lucas in film or in books, like Timothy Zahn books, Kevin J. Anderson, R.A. Salvatore, like a lot of the, like, bigger,
the
more
big,
popular things.
Important series.
And then there were a level down below that where it was, like, books that were written in the 80s, where it was kind of just people writing whatever they wanted and it didn't make sense with the rest of them. Like, Han Solo has 3 origin stories, Boba Fett has 2 or 3 origin stories, and, so someone at, I forget if it was at Lucasfilm or LucasArts, someone was in charge of tagging, like, what canon level you were. So even then, before the reset, there were levels of canon where, like, sometimes, like, that book had been written, let's say, Splinter of the Mind's Eye was one of the first ones, completely non-canon, even though it was one of the first books written, because it was just some story that didn't make sense with the rest of it.
Sure, that makes sense. When you're, like, producing that much content about a universe, I'm sure, you start to have, like, duplicates and triplicates and whatnot. So I can understand that. Cora, I want to ask you, the poster came out for the new movie, and there was a big deal because Luke does not appear anywhere on that poster.
Yes, and he is in the trailer, but it's only the same shot of him crouching with R2 that was in the teaser, which made me think, okay, like, I know Mark Hamill's in the movie, he's already cast for episode 8, spoiler there, so he's around, maybe his role is more minor. Especially in this first one, maybe he's kind of off doing something like awakening the Force. Maybe that's what he's off searching for, old Jedi stuff or old Sith stuff or whatever.
Please, God, not having sex with AI.
Was there a concern about that?
I'm sorry. Remember how I said there was a lot of stuff that needed to go away? Yeah, that was one of them.
Okay.
You're talking about
her name?
Shizor's robot.
With a C.
Oh, Callista?
Callista! Did she ever get a body? I don't know if
I
read that.
Yeah, she gets a body. This is not a spoiler. This is a 15-year-old or older book.
And then they had the actual sex, and not just forced sex.
Yeah. And a Jedi student of his stops the dreadnought, and the AI gets transferred into her, and she actually loses the force powers because it was some weird thing. Yeah. So that's one of those things where it's like, yeah, canon, but super fucking weird.
So they're like, okay, that's out. We don't want, like, the Joker and whatever her awful name was. What was the name of that character in Mass Effect?
Edie. Edie is awesome. What are you talking about?
No, she was awful. She walked around. She had metal camel toe, okay?
She did.
She did. There's no excuse for
that. Okay, so, yeah, our design's a little sex bot skeevy, but I mean,
it's like, Joker, really? Really? You're gonna date the sex bot? All right.
But she was a really, really cool character.
So I was actually kind of glad that Joker was just sort of, like, deflected away from all the other women on my ship.
That's good. That's very good. We're doing kind of a shorter episode today, so I want to kind of start to trend towards wrapping things up. Core, tell us what you've been playing lately in the world of video games.
Final Fantasy Record Keeper with Ellie and Talon. Stand up on that, because I love Final Fantasy, and I have to, because I'm addicted now. I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone, just because I'm waiting for Battlefront to come out and get my PS4 in the mail, so I'm going to keep playing that until it comes out. I was telling you earlier, I spent 3,000 dust this morning, which was several months worth of dust, because Patron Warrior, which was a pretty heavily used deck, was nerfed because one card was changed. The Warsong Commander, her effects were changed. So
people got real mad about that nerf too. They were not happy.
Well, because Patron Warrior was extremely strong deck, and it required almost no investment to get, because it was like, I think there was a couple rares and there's one legendary, but it was a expansion legendary. You just complete the levels, you don't have to actually get the card, kind of thing. So I built a Control Warrior deck, which took a lot of dust to do, because it's a very expensive, lots of epics, lots of legendaries, but it's fun. So I've had a good time with that today. I installed Shadowrun Returns and Dragonfall. I played through both of those. Really fun games. And I think that's about... Oh, no, Space Team. So I was at a bachelor party last weekend in Denver, and each night after... This was Thursday through Sunday. Each night after we came back from drinking heavily all day long, we booted up our phones for Space Team, which, if you haven't heard of it, it's kind of like Keep Talking and No One Blows Up, where it's not VR. It's everyone has on their phones, and it has a panel for, like, a spaceship with random gibberish words where, like, activate squibbly boob to whatever, and, like, you have to hit the button to do it. But sometimes you can see the directions for yourself. Sometimes it's other people's panels. And if you go too slowly, your panels start to break down, where, like, goo comes on, you have to wipe the goo off, or the panels start swinging, you have to, like, pin it and put it back in place. And there's dials and knobs. And as you get further and further along, the words change to symbols, and they're, like, nonsense symbols. My favorite one we had was activate pan flute, because it was, like, a little stacked column thing. Super fun game to play with your friends, especially after having adult time out doing other things. I kind of wish that you could play it other ways than just on a shared Wi-Fi network or Bluetooth. Like, we can't play together now because we're remotely located. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of a bummer. You can't play, like, over Hangouts or whatever else. But ridiculously fun. And apparently the guy who created it won't tell people, like, how far the end is. He doesn't want them to know. He wants them to just keep playing until someone actually beats it. Mm-hmm. We only got to round 8 because we were playing with 4 of us, which is the max team size. But I guess some people with team sizes of 2 that have, like, crazy tactics have gotten to, like, in the 40s. So it goes really far, and I guess really it's really, really complicated by that time.
I've heard super fun things about that game. That's, like, the ultimate couch co-op, like, party game. That's very, very cool. You mentioned Battlefront. Are you psyched for that?
Totally. I bought a PS4 for 2 reasons, Battlefront and a Final Fantasy VII remake.
Hi, Arrow.
I'm going to buy other stuff afterwards, but that's the reason I'm getting the set. I don't need it for anything else. I have a PS3. I have a computer. I can, you know, watch media wherever I want. I got a Chromecast. I got a phone. Like, there's no reason to get the actual PS4 right now for me other than those 2 games. So I'm buying it just because of that. They had a price point drop. I'm not sure what it is now, but it's affordable, and I'm getting Battlefront. So,
for people who don't know, Battlefront, the new Battlefront, is the Star Wars one. So you can fight on the surface of the planet. You can fly around. You can, you know, it's a big war, epic battle.
And not to be confused with Battlefront they already made on the PS2.
Right. Exactly.
This is the same name. It's made by the guys that did Modern Warfare, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah,
That group, yeah. So it's more that style rather than the first Battlefront, which I actually had fun with. It was an okay game. Wasn't super fun, but I would buy it because it's Star Wars and I had a PS2, so why not?
Yeah, and this one, the thing that everyone says is the sound is great. It sounds like you're in the movie, which is what people are buying it for. So
I've seen a couple videos of, like, someone playing a non-campaign, non-co-op thing where it's like a survival mission. You just drop down on a planet and you're defending escape pods and things are coming at you. And other than the fact that the stormtroopers still can't aim, super realistic looking, super realistic sounding, and very cool.
Nice. Or what have you been playing lately, aside from Star Wars?
I've been playing SWTOR. I have also been playing, actually, a super fun, very small game called Mini Metro. I've been playing it on Steam, and it's very, very simple graphics. I mean, graphics is even a stretch. It's, you know, could have been done on, like, Microsoft Paint or something. But it's essentially you have to build a subway system for a city as it grows. And so, you know, little points pop up on the map, and you have to connect the points as they pop up with an efficient subway system, and you have a limited amount of trains and a limited amount of tunnels and stuff. And you can play one, they're based on actual cities. The maps are based on actual cities of the world and have challenges based on, you know, geography. And each game takes between 20 and 30 minutes. And I love strategy games, and I love finicky, micromanagey type games. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. I'm really looking forward to Fallout 4. which is coming out very soon. And so I've been spending some of my game playing time sort of like reading about Fallout 4. I live in Boston, so I'm super excited about the fact that it's set in Boston. And I plan to find my house, see, you know, if I can find where it
is. If it's still standing.
Still standing. And let's see. I've been playing a lot, quite a bit of Banished, which is a little city building game set in a sort of medieval type time period where, you know, you start out with a couple of families and some resources, and you have to, you know, hunt and farm and log and build them houses and create a little self-sufficient little town. It's an interesting game that was developed by just one guy who made the whole game himself, and it's a very solid 8 out of 10, and I really enjoy it, and I find it very relaxing.
So I'm interested you say relaxing, because Banished has a reputation of being really hard.
So I don't agree, but I've been playing city games since I was 17, and I feel like once you learn the expectations and the sort of paradigms of the genre, you sort of just understand how to optimize certain things like building placement and resource management, and build order matters a lot for those types of games. And if you have a good sense of what order to build things in and how quickly to expand, and if you really understand the mechanics, I'm one of those people who, you know, I always read the entire manual before I even fired up a game, and I always really wanted to understand the rules as in as much detail as I can. So I don't find it hard. I find it incredibly relaxing. So
nice.
Games come with manuals?
Not anymore.
They used to. The manual for Baldur's Gate 2 was like an inch thick. It was
and
amazing.
It came with a fabric map.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is awesome. I have Banished. I haven't played it that much just because I heard it was like grueling. But I'm also really, really into city builders. So if you say with your experience it's not that tough, I might have to fire it up. I will give that a shot.
Extra life.
There are a few key rules. Yeah, maybe I'll come watch you during Extra Life and I'll tell you if you're fucking...
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Era, what else have you been playing lately?
Other than Star Wars, I have not been playing anything lately. But as soon as we are done recording, I have a copy of Syndicate in my living room waiting for me to play it. Because the reviews have been, like, creepy good. Absolutely. I don't know if everyone's possessed and... But I tell you what, right now, I'm going to give it a shot, but if they kill off Evie Fry and fridge her like they do every other lady character in this series, Ubisoft is fucking dead to me. Forever.
I look forward to hearing in 2 weeks your experiences with this.
There's a lot on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, they're going to lose a lot of sales if Arrow stops buying their games.
So. It's true. I'm like the only one who buys every fucking game.
It's true.
The only one left in the entire world. I have put up with you for so many years. Don't let me down.
Well, particularly as this was sort of their sop to, you know, the response to Unity, which, you know, where they were like, ladies are too hard to animate. So they can't kill her off. That's not cool. I will be interested to see how it goes. I have just been playing Guild Wars 2 lately, but I'm kind of keeping my game time in check because next weekend is Extra Life. So by the time you listen to this, it'll be about 3 days away. So Saturday is the Extra Life Gaming Marathon, in which I will be playing video games for 24 hours on Saturday, November 7th, until the wee early morning hours of Sunday, November 8th. And I'm going to play, I've got Her Story, I've got Undertale, I've got Guild Wars, I've got a lot of some Banished. There's going to be a whole bunch of games, and I'll be streaming it all. So please feel free to stop by and chat. Really, the chatting and hanging out makes it all totally doable. If I had to do it like by myself for 24 hours, it really would not be that much fun. I'd be like, I'm going to bed now. That's just the way it's going.
We should also play Don't Starve Together. We should play. We need to get Kinch in, because
I was
going
to say,
frankly,
you have to have Kinch run the show, because then you actually live.
He's good at it, and he can basically just gather food for us, is I think how it should go.
Yes, I think that would work out very well. Maybe some Heroes of the Storm, too. He's good at leading us around in that one, too, so we can beat bots. So that's going to be happening. Please feel free to stop by. I would love to hang out with everybody and chat and play together and do some co-op games. And if you're able to donate, please. All donations go to the Children's Miracle Network, and they are tax deductible. So that is very much appreciated. Okay, I think that's it. We did an episode. Good job, everybody.
Hooray.
Yay.
So we're on Twitter at catcontext. And we are online, leorblog.com/catcontextpodcast, and we record every 2 weeks. Thank both very much, both of you, for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Erle, thank you for coming on the show, as always.
You're welcome, as always.
Oh, that was so nice. This ends up...
We're all so polite right now, this is freaking me out.
We're so... Yeah, this is really Canadian, guys.
Yeah, fuck you too, Cor.
Okay. Much better. Woo! This seems like normal now.
Much better.
There you go.
All right, thank you very much for watching and or listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye.